There's a good healthy sound as I come down here to the quay in Orford. I'm with Charlie Underwood. Charlie, we're on the ferry.
Yes, the ferry goes from the mainland to the island.
And the island's called Havering.
No, the island is Orford Ness.
Oh, I see. So Orford Ness is an island itself, is it?
Not really. It's always called the island locally, but it's a peninsula because it's connected to the mainland at Alba in Slaughton.
How many journeys have you made on this ferry then?
Well, I've been coming over pretty regularly since 1956.
Is that when you took on the job?
No, that's when I started work with the Atomic Weapons Research Establishment. I actually took on the lighthouse job in 1965. That's 27 years.
Well, that was a retirement job, was it?
No, that was a part-time job I took on. I was a plant attendant with the AWRE, and because I'd been security cleared, they needed somebody who had to go through the site then, and everybody had to be security cleared at that time. And I took the job on because I needed some extra money.
But do you ever regret that decision?
Never, no. I took it over for the extra money. But now it's become a way of life.
Now, well, the ferry goes from the quay at Orford Ness. How many ferries have there been in your time, or has this always been the ferry boat?
No. Originally, just after the end of the war, there was two LCMs came here, ex-wartime, Lanercraft Marine, that was. And then when AWRE came, they had this present ferry built at Lowestoft. And after then, there was another one, Portree. That was an ex-ferry from the Isle of Skye. That was brought here because of the, when they were building the American Cobra Mist early warning radar site,
right.
They needed a bigger boat to bring all the lorries over, and that's when they got Portree.
Right, well we've docked now, and we're going to find your Land Rover.
That's right, it's in an Isenhut.
And you and I are going to run through this rain, are we?
Well, I'm going to put my waterproof trousers on, I think.
Right, I think that's a good idea. Well, we've changed our mode of transport now for a Land Rover, Charlie, but at one time this was a secret place, wasn't it?
Yes, it has been for years. But going back many years, these were grazing masters for cattle, and at that time they were brought in from the Alba end, being driven in and out, and at that time there was a marshman lived over here in a cottage, which I'll show you as we go round.
A lucky man.
Yes, he had a family over here, and they had to cross the river every day to go to school and all things like that. And then in the 1418 war, this became an airfield. There again, that was the first lot of experiments that were made over here. And a few years ago, I was fortunate in bringing the pilot of the plane that shot the Zeppelin down at Clevedon over here.
Really?
He was in his 80s then. Douglas Holder, his name was. But he was a very interesting man to talk to, and I learned many things about what happened during the First World War from him.
So what were they using it for then?
Actually the first parachute jump was made over here. And that parachute, they hooked onto the wing of the aircraft, and the pilot would climb onto the wing and jump out between the wing and the tailplane. Fortunately, the first one did open.
I'm glad it did.
The gate we're just approaching now was the main entrance to the Atomic Weapons Research Establishment. There would be security police on the gate here. And nobody got in unless they were had been security cleared, or visitors were escorted at all times. Before the atomic weapons, or when they started here, the Ministry of Supply were here, and at that time this little Isenhut here was their fire station.
Was it really?
It was only a Land Rover, but it did the job. The next building, there was the electrical workshops, this end, drawing office, far end, the next building, which is an old First World War building, they were eventually used as mess rooms. And then the machine shop was in that building. And on the left, what was a hangar, which was built in the First World War. There was two of those. One that had been demolished, but that one was badly damaged in the 89 hurricane and had to be demolished to make it safe.
Right. How much do we know, or are we allowed to know, what was going on over here?
Well, I suppose a lot of it is off the secret list now, but I was positively vetted for AWRE, and again when I went to the Telecom Research Labs at Radlesham, so there are things that I wouldn't even talk about myself, even now.
Absolutely, yes, very wise. Now, how did you get involved then, you know, with the job in the first place in 1956?
Well, there was another chap got the job first, Wally Green, and he was on the point of retiring. He started training, but I thought I told you something else then.
Go on, do tell us. It's all right. We can edit things in. That's fine.
Well, before AWRE came here, the only bridge across Stony Ditch, you'll see Stony Ditch shortly, was a small bridge to the lighthouse. But then when AWRE came, they put up a Bailey Bridge there. That has since been taken down because it was unsafe. But the firm who took it down painted it up and resold it, and it was put up somewhere else. I became involved when this chap who...
Wally Green,
when he was on the point of retirement, and... he started going up there training, and he had pains in his chest. He went to the doctor, told the doctor what he was doing, and he was advised not to do it.
Right.
He told me about it, so I then saw the station secretary at that time, and he got in touch with the chief superintendent at Harwich, and he came and interviewed me, and I got the job.
Well, what were you doing before then, Charlie, then?
Well, I was working at that time for the Atomic Weapons Research Establishment.
Yes.
But before then, I worked on the farm.
Well, I never did. from the sort of the old world to the new in one big leap.
Oh, it was, yes. In a completely different world. Mm. But before we had mains water in the village, to get water onto the island, the Air Ministry, I think it was then, had a... pumping station put up in just outside the village, and that used to pump the water over into these tanks. Well, during the very bad winter of 1963, everywhere froze up, and I was in the part-time fire brigade then, and I helped to ferry water across here to put in these tanks. And it was so cold that we had to thaw the pump out every time we arrived here.
Really?
We had an extension on the exhaust and thawed the pump out. And that square tank, they erected a platform under there and put braziers on and put tilts all the way around. And so the heat kept that one clear.
Running. It looks in good order today, actually.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Are there any people who live on the island today?
No, not anymore. Now that's where the cottage was there.
Just there, right. Yeah. How many acres is it roughly?
I couldn't say offhand.
No, right.
You'll be surprised as you go over, because looking at it from the mainland, you don't see half the area here. But during the 1953 East Coast floods, there were two security policemen on here, on night duty at that time. Harry Brown, who still lives in the village, and Billy Richards. And one of them got on the roof of a toilet block on near Stony Ditch, and the other one got on the roof of another building, until they were rescued by Reg Partridge and Vic Brinkley. They were local boatmen, and Reg got the BEM for it, and Vic got the Queen's Commendation for bravery.
But that was the flooding?
That was in the 53 floods, yeah.
So the whole island was basically...
All this lower part of the island was flooded. Rather an amusing story. there was a lighthouse keeper, he was a supernumerary, which was a learner. He'd been posted here the day before, and I've took him to the lighthouse a few times since. And he woke up that morning, he saw all this water, so when he called the principal keeper, he said, "We've got a high tide this morning, Governor." Of course, when the keeper looked out the window, he did see what had happened. But he always laughed how naive he was. That building there, that was the administration headquarters of AWRE, and there was a fire and ambulance station there. That was the main boiler house. That was my domain. I was on boilers and air conditioning plant. And the boilers supplied the steam for the air conditioning plant up at the labs, up on the shingle there. You'll see them shortly. And we had to go around every 2 hours to check all the air conditioning plant. It was vital that the labs were kept a certain temperature and humidity because of the explosives that were being used at that time.
We're sort of going off the beaten track now onto an asphalt road. A gravel road, really.
Well, this was actually an asphalt road at one time, but it hasn't had any attention for years now, so it's gradually breaking up. Over to the right here, you can see a Nissen hut, a long Nissen hut that's been demolished. At the early days of the Atomic Weapons Research Establishment, the Ministry of Supply were doing experiments over here. One of them, they had a field gun on this concrete plinth at the end here, and they would fire a shell up the centre of the Nissen hut, which would trigger cameras to photograph the flight of the shell as it went. They always seemed to do that when we were in the canteen at lunch. Whether it was done purposely or not, I don't know.
Major jump.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I don't know if you know it, but radar was actually invented here at Orford Ness, not at Bordsey, as a lot of people think. And Watson Watt at that time had two wooden towers here. And the only evidence of that now are these four concrete plinths here where one of the towers stood.
Oh, that's right, yes.
They were dismantled and took to Bordsey and then reassembled there. Matter of fact, my elder brother helped in that operation. He went to Bordsey.
That looks like the guard room there with the...
No, that was the canteen.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They were going over a bridge.
Yes, this bridge goes over Stony Ditch. Not particularly stony, but on old maps, it was Stone Eye Ditch. Probably because that's just a blank end. The tide flows in and out. As I said, the AWRE had a Bailey Bridge put over, and as they extended their labs, they had other bridges put over. The one down there and this one.
Right. So who owns this land now?
The Ministry of Defence.
Right.
The building you can see on the left coming up now was the magazine where the explosives were stored when they were not in use. And if we look over to the right, you'll see that the low building on the right was the control rooms for the three labs that you can see further out. Two of them are pagoda-type buildings, and the far one housed a centrifuge, where they would put whatever they were testing on the end of an arm and revolve it at great speed to create G-forces. The other two were vibration labs, where they would put their things in and shake them up.
There's a big building in front of us there, by jingo.
Yeah, but the pagoda type buildings, as you can see, there's a big slab, concrete slab covered with shingle on top of the pillars. And the theory there was if there was an explosion, the pillars would be blown out, the slab would drop down and smother everything. When AWRE left, they asked the Army if they could prove the theory, and the Army said they could, but there wouldn't be any windows left in the village. The building straight ahead is a different sort of explosive building. 6 foot thick reinforced concrete walls, light alloy roof, and had there been explosion, the force would have gone straight up rather than outwards. This particular building was used mainly for assembling the various things that were being tested before they went to the other labs. Although at one stage there was a trial done in there, a continuous trial of 1,000 hours.
It all looks somewhat eerie, really, as we drive around. There's lots of things which would have gone on here which nobody would ever know about, but it was built, what, for defence purposes? Did they use that argument? They were creating big weapons for defence purposes, or what?
Well, of course, at that time the atomic bomb was being developed, and we did have tests in Australia and Christmas Island. As you well know, there's claims now by the servicemen who were on Christmas Island at that time. But no, it was built for testing various components, I suppose.
Bits and pieces,
Bits and pieces. That building over to the left there was the climatic chamber. They would put things in there that they were testing, and they'd take the temperature down to minus 20 degrees centigrade, and take it up to whatever they wanted. They do that a few times, and then take it to the next lab you can see coming up, where it would be put on a vibration machine and shook up.
Right, Charlie, we've come to an odd-looking building now. This was our old windmill.
Well, that one was a radio beacon for shipping before and during the war. There was a big aerial revolving inside that, which sent out a signal so shipping could pick up a bearing on it. And the brick building alongside housed the generators that run that. And at that time, that building and the brick building you can see in the distance were the only buildings this side of Stony Ditch.
Right.
And access was gained by a small gauge railway across a bridge over Stony Ditch. At that time there was no roads here at all.
Really?
And it wasn't until the 1950s when the Atomic Weapons Research Establishment came here that they put in the Bailey Bridge and put all these roads in.
Right.
The other low building there was the telemetry building for AWRE. They used to do bombing trials here. And one of them, a Royal Navy Scimitar aircraft, would approach from Bordsey at about 200 foot. And when he got just past here, he'd go in a steep climb. And as he climbed, he'd release the bomb, which had the effect of going in a large arc. So that by the time the bomb hit the sea, then the aircraft was well out of range, had it have been a proper bomb.
Right, we're going on to the lighthouse now, are we?
Yes, we'll carry on down here.
Well, the seagulls are singing. We've arrived here at the lighthouse. What's its name, this lighthouse, then?
Orfordness.
Orfordness Lighthouse, yeah. Right. Well, I love the sign on this which says private property. Double security locks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right.
The bay that was built, just to prove it is 200 years old, is up there in Roman numerals.
Now, this was built by Lord Braybrooke.
Lord Braybrooke.
Why did he build it here?
Well, before this one was built, there were other lighthouses further to the east. Mm. But because of the sea was scarring away there, they got washed away or burnt down, some of them. And then he decided to build this one much further back. And eventually the other brick one was washed away. And his theory proved correct, because this one has stood for 200 years.
How were the other ones fired, then? I mean, how did they actually work?
Well, the original ones, they had two then to lead between the Alban Napes and the Sizewell Bank. And the one in the front, called the Small Light, was candle lit. And the one behind that, called the Great Light, was lit by coal.
When you say lit by coal, I mean, there was a brazier in there, was there, or something?
Oh, yes, it must have been, yeah.
It must have been manned all the time, then?
Oh, that was, yes. Yeah, and then the keepers used to come from Aldborough. But there was no living accommodation. They would come down at night and be here all night and go back in the morning.
And did they have glass or anything to reflect the light?
They did after a bit. I've done quite a bit of research on the lighthouses, and I am writing a book on the history of them.
Good.
And so, but I can't remember the dates off my head. But yes, they did put glass around eventually, and then they gradually developed into what it is now.
Yeah, it's a very ornate sign, but this must be Lord Brabourne's coat of arms.
I would think so. I haven't verified that yet, but I'm going on a visit to Audley End to see if I can find out for sure.
So he owned Orfordness in those days, did he?
Well, he owned the light. And to strengthen his position here, he did buy this piece of land.
But why on earth did he own a light?
Oh, it's very money-making.
Really?
Oh, yes, because even years ago they charged a penny a tonne on every tonne that went past the lighthouse.
Well, how could they collect that money then?
Well, as there is now, there was customs, every port, and the customs knew where the ships come from, and they knew what lights they passed, and they had to pay the light dues to the customs, who in turn gave it to the private owners.
And the private owners had a mandatory right to keep the lights up then?
Yes, yeah.
Because now
they didn't always do that. This one in particular got in very bad condition at times. There was one instance where the owner at that time let a widow have the lights because her husband and father had been lighthouse keepers before then. But she didn't do a very good job. And he wrote her a notice to quit, and in it he said that I excuse it because you are a woman. Well, imagine saying that today.
I think you'd probably get lynched from here. Right, the mist's coming in a bit now, Charlie. Do we close this door?
Yes, we'll close the door.
Right, yeah. And we're going to open another one.
Yeah.
Now we're coming in, and there's a gentle hum of an engine here. Ah, my word.
That's the chargers.
And this is much larger in here than I anticipated, actually.
Yes. Well, this is the base of the tower. And if you go back to the 1930s, the keepers had their families live here with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what it looked like then, with the cottage on either side.
Either side, which has recently been demolished, I suppose.
Yes, they were demolished in the 1950s when this was automated.
One des res with tower, really, isn't it?
Yes. The entrances to them were through that opening, or where that opening is there and here. And this was a common hallway for both families. And as you can see, they each had their own staircase.
Right, yes,
and
of course.
If you look just under that light up there, you can see the outline of the doorway that went into the bedroom.
Oh, yes, that's right,
that side and this side.
Right. They had to get on with each other then.
Oh, yes.
I suppose they did.
I actually went to school with boys that lived up here, and they used to have to cross the river every day.
Yes, cool.
Yeah. And they were rowed across, and they didn't have a motorboat or anything like that.
Now, the light itself today is driven by what?
By the mains of electricity. And if we get a failure, that generator takes over automatically and carries on.
And what waters are we protecting with this light?
Well, Orfordness actually sticks out into the sea quite a bit, if you look at the map. And it was put here because many years ago the ships used to come closer in than they do today. But we've also got the Shipwash lightship about 7 miles out.
Is that unmanned?
Yes, that's fully automatic, as is the outer gabbard.
Really?
And when we get to the top, I'll tell you a bit more about those.
Now you've got the desk here. It must be one of the original pieces of furniture.
Well, I would think so, yes.
It's built with the round.
Yes, yeah, and you'll see another beautiful cabinet up in the service room when we get up there. And that is very well made. I've got to ring Harry's now because I have to check in with the operational control centre.
Right.
Every time I arrive and leave the station.
Right, well, you've arrived, so you better go and do that straight away so they'll be knowing that you're here.
Charlie Hill's Ness. I'll be out here for a little while with the BBC Radio Suffolk. Give me a call when I'm finished. Right, cheers.
So they know there's somebody here.
Oh, yes.
We're legitimate, that's right. Absolutely, anyway. Yes, of course, right. So here we have the batteries.
Yes, well, if the generator fails, then we do have battery lamps that it goes over onto, and these are the batteries.
So in fact, there's three systems, really. There's a main system, the generator system, and the battery system.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
All maintained by Trinity House.
That's right, yeah.
Right. Now, you must lead the way, sir, because...
Well, as you know, I'm bringing parties up here throughout August.
Yes.
And we do have safety notices here.
Right.
And I always draw their attention to that.
It says here, narrow, steep stairs, persons with respiratory or heart problems are not advised to ascend the tower, and children must be accompanied by an adult. Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're the adult, I'm the child.
Also, I always tell the parties as well that if they get part of the way up and they don't like heights and they don't like it, to come down again immediately.
That's right. Oh, yes, absolutely. You've got to do that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Here we go. Going up the stairs with this wonderful stair rail on the right, which must again be original. I can't think that it was put on.
Well, the lighthouse has been altered over the years, and there was a big operation done in 1866, and at that time they altered the top. It used to be a rounded top, but they altered that to what it is now. And at that time there were cellars underneath here, and in the cellars was a well.
Oh.
But on the alterations I saw on the plans that the well was to be filled up.
Right.
I'd like to open up the cellars again just to see what's under there.
I wonder if you'd find any grog. We never know, right?
On that platform there, the grey cabinets house the remote control equipment, which sends and receives the signals from Harwich, because they can do anything from Harwich that I do here.
Right.
Two time switches on the wall in between the cabinets. If one fails, the other one automatically takes over. They adjust themselves to the lengthening or shortening days. And the bottles on the wall there are the gas extinguishing, fire extinguishing bottles. We've got fusible links. If it got too hot, one would part.
Right.
And the bottles would be pierced and the gas would come out of the nozzles. This happened few weeks back. A welder was working on that handrail and a piece of hot metal fell on the fusible link, and of course the gas was discharged.
Oh.
And luckily it was a BCF gas they could walk through.
Yes.
Otherwise, if it had been CO2, they wouldn't have been able to.
I don't know how many steps there are, but no doubt you'll tell us when we get a bit further up onto the next platform. Going up very gracefully. Oh my word, there's a light here.
Yes, this is a light you don't see from the mainland. It's a fixed light called the scepter light. When the light first comes on, as you can see, there's three lamps there. The center one is the battery lamp.
Right.
That comes on to prove it every time. Then the holder goes over, that one comes up right and light up.
Right.
If that fails during the night, then the holder would go over and the other one would come upright and light up. The light is reflected from that those prisms there back through that lens, and from that one back through that lens. The red window to the east serves as a warning of the sizeable bank. And the red sector here to the southwest, the red sector is a warning of the whiting bank, and the green between the bank and the land.
Charlie, I never realised that these prisms were so large. It's really scientifically designed, isn't it?
Well, it is. If you come here, they're set so all the light is brought up to the window.
Right.
If you look through there, you can see the lamps.
Yes.
Upright. If you look below this level, they are upside down.
Oh, yes,
and down.
That's right. Yes.
So the light is refracted up into the window. And the same as the top, that brings it down to the window.
Right, we must move on, I'm afraid, isn't
yes.
we?
Right, okay.
Here we go. Up the steps. So that's the middle lamp. Now that is a surprise. I didn't realise that one was there.
That's the sector light.
The sector light, right.
Before it was electrified, it was a paraffin light.
Mm-hmm.
And during the day, the keepers had to carry the paraffin up here to put in pressure vessels on the next floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're standing on a little platform now, so that they could put their cans of paraffin down and have a rest.
Right, yeah.
And there's another one a little further up.
Wouldn't a winch have helped?
Well, they didn't worry about that in those days.
Right, let's get up
there. The central tube,
yes,
you can see, actually housed the weights, which worked the clockwork mechanism that turned the lens at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And as the weights went down in the tube, the lens was turned at the correct speed.
Oh, there we are. Well, I suppose they had to wind them up each day as well.
Well, during the night, they had to wind the weights up and pump the pressure up on the light every hour and a half.
Didn't they? This is no sinecure. Right. Now?
Well, we've now arrived in the service room.
Yes, right.
And this is not just a lighthouse nowadays. The Shipwash lightship is 7 miles out. The outer gabbard is about 14. They are fully automatic, unmanned. And the signals from them come into this equipment here.
Yes.
Where it's converted onto a landline back to Harrods.
Right.
So that if the control room want to know the state of the lightships, they press a few buttons on their computer and they can find out what's happening out there. I've got a Raycon beacon on top of the tower, and that's the equipment that run that.
Well, it's wonderful, wonderful piece of furniture here.
Yes, this is the cabinet I was talking about.
This is a beautiful cabinet.
It's filled with oak, and it must have been built in here.
Yes. I mean, it's curved, it's not both, it's a convex, isn't it? A concave, rather.
And I'm told that not many cabinets are like this, because usually a curved cabinet will have straight glass.
This one has got curved glass
as well.
And in here, housing the lamp.
Well, that is a lamp that was in service until last October.
Right.
That's a 3 kilowatt filament lamp at 100 volts. Because they're no longer being used, the system was changed. We've got different lamps up there.
Okay.
We've now got a 1 kilowatt mercury vapor discharge lamp.
Which is even more powerful.
Well, yes, it is in a way, but it's not quite as interesting as that.
Certainly, that's a really work of art.
They will become collector's pieces, of course.
How many hours will they last?
I have to change them after every 1,000 hours.
Right, let's ascend the final bit of our climb to the top of the lighthouse.
This is somewhat steeper, this...
Oh, you're quite right. Let's ascend with care then, shall we? We come up to the final bit of the lighthouse here at Orford Ness. Charlie, we've reached the top, and we're here by a most magnificent piece of equipment with the lantern, really, aren't we? The lantern room.
This is it, yes, we're in the lantern room and this is the main navigation light. As you can see, we've got two lamps in there. The one this end is the one in use, which comes on at night and goes out in the morning. The other one is the standby lamp. If the main lamp failed, the holder would go round and the other one come into position and light up.
Right.
If, in turn, that failed, it would go over to the battery lamp, which is outside on the gallery.
Yes.
That revolves at the same speed as this, so you get a flash every 5 seconds.
Right. Why is it revolving now? It's daylight.
Yes, well, until last October, it used to stop when the light went out and start when the light came on. But with the new equipment, they decided to run it all the time. So that the sun wouldn't go through the lens and cause a fire during the day.
Oh, I see.
But my reply to that was that for 27 years it's been stopped during the day and we've not had a fire, so why is it going now?
Now, how old is that lens up there?
It was actually installed in 1914 by a firm called Chance Brothers, who manufacture all lighthouse equipment and glass, because the prisms, that's a specialised job to grind them, and they're set so that all the light is gathered and beamed out so it can be seen from close in right to the horizon. Mm-hmm. Now, all this equipment from here upwards, which weighs about a ton and a half, is floating on a trough of mercury, which is contained in here.
Must be pretty heavy too.
Oh, it must be. The wheels that you can see are only guides, and if I just pull that down like that, you'll see it goes on to the wheels.
Right? Oh yes, I see. Right. Yes.
So they, as it floats, they.
It's actually floating.
It's floating. Yeah. And this was installed in 1914, and I don't think they can improve on it. Although they've improved on the lamps, on the control equipment, that is still the same as it was then.
And how many miles out to sea can this light shine?
27.
27 miles.
Yeah. Now, if you look on the wall at the back there, there are some light sensors.
Yeah.
And they sense when the light come in. If the light doesn't come in, that sends a signal back to Harwich, and then they would phone me and I would come over and sort it out. On the inside of the lens, you can see a grey box with two eyes on it. And if you look on the rim as it goes round, there's a reflective plate. It's about here now. You see a red light come on underneath the grey box. Can you see the...
Yes, yes.
Well, as it comes past the eyes, that monitors the speed the lens is turning. Now, the lens turn one complete revolution every 15 seconds, and because we've got three lens, we get what appears as a flash every five.
Right.
Now, if the lens is going too fast or too slow, then we've got two motors there, one in use. If it was going too fast or too slow, it would switch automatically onto the other motor. The blue box you can see out on the gallery as a trisponder, that's in use for the Harwich Harbour Authority, who are doing some survey work out there. And up until a fortnight ago, I also had one on there belonging to the Navy, who were doing survey work.
This is a magnificent view, and here we're facing south, due south, because there's little brass compass points along the way.
That's right, yes, and on a clear day, we can't see it today, but on a clear day, you can see Bawdsey Point.
Right.
And on a really clear day, beyond that, you can see Walton-on-Naze.
There's several tracks down there, so vehicles drive over it.
Yes, they're mostly people who come in from the Olber end with four-wheel drive vehicles to do a bit of angling.
So this is open to the public then?
Well, it is really at this present time, but the anglers come down, they do their angling and go back again. But you do get other people who come and they go all over everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I understand that further down, where there is a tern colony, they even run over the nest this year.
Oh, dear.
And they're the people who spoil it for everybody else.
There's a balcony for the sunny days when you can walk around.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's all well maintained as well.
It is most magnificently maintained. And how many years have you been doing this?
27
years.
There's 114 steps up to where we are now.
Right.
And I'm doing the parties throughout August. In aid of the Somersham Ward support group of Ipswich Hospital. Mm. And I bring two parties a day on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. But I've found that I have also had a run on Tuesday and Thursday, such as today. and I reckon up the first 2 weeks I'd climbed 1,824 stairs.
My word. And then for the rest of the year, you're doing your normal job then?
Yeah, I just come up once a week for cleaning and maintenance, maintain the batteries and clean this lens.
How tall is the lighthouse?
99 feet.
Oh.
they ought to have went the other foot, didn't they? They didn't even 100.
Well, it's magnificent. So I'm going to walk around the other side again, carefully as we go. with this gear. And what were these?
Yeah, well,
speaking tubes.
They're speaking tubes, and as you can see, there's PK and AK. When the families lived here, the principal keeper lived that side, and the assistant keeper lived the seaward side. Right. That was the coldest side. That's why the assistant had to be there. Now, if they needed assistance when they were up here, they've got a bosun whistle here.
Oh yes.
That they would whistle down for help.
Would it work?
And you whistle down the tube.
Yes.
And then speak close to it.
Also, I've got a fire escape.
Yes. Oh, sorry, Charlie.
It's housed in this box.
That's a rope and a winch.
Well, it's a Davy fire escape.
Oh, yes.
I would take that out onto the balcony and hook it onto an eye, feed the line through those two eyes out there,
yeah.
Put the strap under my armpits, yes. And go over the side.
I'm sure you'd be willing to do that.
It'd have to be getting pretty hot before I did it.
Looking down the side, of course, we can see on top of the old oil house. And, it's a magnificent place to be.
Yeah.
When was the last keeper living here, then?
I think the keepers, actually, were withdrawn when I took over in 1965.
Right.
In September. I came up for training for a few weeks before then,
yes.
And they were withdrawn, and the keys were handed to me, and I've been looking after it ever since. Become a way of life. If it was clear today, you could see the building to the northeast that housed the BBC transmitters for their world service. That goes out from here.
Mm. I rather like it as it is with this mist. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Marvellous. What a wonderful job.
Well, I like it anyway.
Yeah. And of course, if it wasn't here, there could be a lot more disasters at sea.
Oh, I would think so. Although radar, of course, plays a great part in navigation now, and satellites. But the local fishermen tell me they like to see the light.
Right then, Charlie, it's time for us to wander, I suppose, is it?
Yes, that's about all I can tell you.
Right, shall you go first, or shall I? I better go first, haven't I?
You go first, and leave this way for you. Just go right. Backwards. And...
Right, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. We're going to descend back, holding the brass rail, coming down this steepest flight of steps. I'm not going to hurry. And we leave now this wonderful lighthouse top. I may never come here again, but I do hope I have the chance to. And... we are, I'm not counting the steps, I'm on terra firma of sorts, onto one of the levels. Well, Charlie, there we go down again, don't we?
Yes.
We can go frontwards this time. As long as I keep hold of the rail, I'm not counting the steps, but it's further up than you think. More beautifully decorated.